It's time to open the thrift shop with DJ Frederick.
Well, he sits in a chair, just a comb on his hair. What a man! And the chicks go crazy for his lazy little Alakazam jam.
Well, he's the innermost and outermost and undermost and overmost serene queen of all. And he says he knows the answer, 'cause he heard it on the tambourine. Well, he's a hippy-dippy, funky monkey, double-bubble-sit-tall-man. Well, he's a hippy-dippy, funky monkey, double-bubble-sit-tall-man.
Tinkerbell toga and a yoga bear yo-yo too.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, then I'll tell you just what to do. Well, you get yourself a PR man and you can be a guru too. Well, he's a hippy-dippy, funky monkey, double-bubble, sit-tar man.
A double-bubble, sit-tar man.
just an astounding composition by David Axelrod, Holy Thursday. Before that, we heard The Advancement with Stone Folk, and we started the set off with The Hubbles, Hippy Dippy, Funky Monkey, Double Bubble, Sitar Man, from a 45 released on Audio Fidelity back in 1970. This is DJ Frederick. You are listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, where music is the universal language, and we embrace all forms of music and creative expression from the past 100 years of recorded sound. Today we're going to return to our sampling of 700 West Studios out in Indianapolis, Minnesota. Mo Whittemore produced a number of recordings, dozens of recordings, for local artists in his studio. They did all types of material, funk, rock, country, gospel, jazz, bluegrass, you name it, they did it. They even had 16-piece big bands, and they dabbled in even commercial music. We're going to start off listening to Match One from 700 West Studios.
Life's like a keyhole with many doors still locked. Money in my pocket, but nowhere to walk. Can't think of yesterday and the love that's been lost. Tomorrow's in the future with time to give some thought to the love that waits for me somewhere. And yet I know that love can only be the kind of thing that will hurt me. And I know, 'cause I've been in love before, and I know that love will lead you astray. Times when I wish that you'd change your mind. Days have passed by me, have all been unkind. Looking for someone who's still to be found, hoping that she'll be the one to lead me round to the love that waits for me somewhere. And yet I know that love can only be the kind of thing that will hurt me. And I know, we'll be right back.
speak to me, for I stood back. She was persuasive, and yet when we spoke our hearts, I knew her always, and she
we'll be right back. music. Feel your souls, let it take up some room in your heart.
All right, this is DJ Frederick, and we've been listening to music from 700 West Studios from Indianapolis, Indiana. That was J. Michael Henderson with My Music. That was just a sample of that tune. Before that, Least Common Denominator, Wait Till Yesterday. Match 2 with Incident, and Match 1, Life's Like a Keyhole. This is what 700 West producer Mo Whittemore had to say about the ending of the studio. In 1983, it all came to an end. The recession caught up with the music business. I guess I could see it coming. The large horn bands of the early and mid-70s became quartets, then trios. Even single acts were becoming popular. The area clubs, with their diminishing clientele, couldn't afford to pay the large bands anymore. With too few bands needing club demos, 700 West closed up shop in December of 1983. But our last band's video made it onto MTV. We must have done some things right. Anything recorded on the 700 West label apparently has an underground following. LPs in sealed condition now command upwards of $2,000, depending on the group recorded.
Oh, mercy. Right on down Indiana 65, you come to the Circle City. That's right. And down around the Circle City, we play Fatback. Yes, I said Fatback. So come on around. Check out our stuff. We play this music for you. The Circle City Fatback.
Circle, circle, city, fat, fat. It's the ultimate sound, so get on down. Fatback. We play this music for you. Circle, circle city, Fatback.
Fatback!
You have time to get on down to the Fatback sound. Play this music for you. Circle City Fatback. It's the ultimate sound, so get on down.
Charles sits on
on the other side of the room. The halls of Xanadu are his own. His life is empty, and you know that he's all alone. But we all know the truth. It seems like he's really alive. The shadow of an American. In the halls of Xanadu, we can read between the lines. Rosebud has a message.
From the 700 West Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, that was Malachi with Citizen Kane. Before that, Kevin Stone Rock, Down the Pike Again. And we started that set off with the Ultimate Force, Circle City Fatback. For more information, you can visit 700west.com. I'll be playing yet more selections from the 700 West Studios in upcoming editions of the Radio Thrift Shop, where we sift through a treasure trove of musical curios, 78s, tapes, vinyl records, and CDs, exploring the past century of recorded music and sound. And it is time for this week's edition of the Yiddish Radio Project.
Here's the story that everyone knows.
Lucky Lindy, up in the sky, fair or windy, he's flying high. Fearless, knows every cloud. The kind of a sun makes a mother feel proud.
1927, Charles A. Lindbergh lifts off in his fragile one-seat plane from a runway in New York. 33 hours later, he touches down in Paris. His voyage was the first ever non-stop solo transatlantic flight. Lindbergh instantly becomes a worldwide hero, an icon, welcomed home by millions of ecstatic Americans and by his president, Calvin Coolidge.
This earnest, courageous product of America, driven by the spirit of his Viking ancestors, traveled 3,600 miles and established a new record. And as President of the United States, I bestow the Distinguished Flying Cross upon Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh.
But here's another story. This one is also about a man who crossed the Atlantic by plane in 1927, just 2 weeks later. But he wasn't tall, he wasn't blonde, and he wasn't Charles A. Lindbergh. No, he was Charles A. Levine, the first air passenger to cross the Atlantic. Passenger, you ask? So what? Well, to Jewish immigrants in America at the time, Levine's accomplishment was nothing short of miraculous. Celebrated in song and story, retold again and again on Yiddish radio, the forgotten tale of Levine's spectacular rise and the unknown account of his terrible fall are brought to us now by Henry Sapoznik.
Charles A. Levine was born in 1897, and as a little kid was obsessed with flying. By the time he was in his 20s, he'd become a self-made millionaire in the junk business and decided to use his fortune to enter the race to be the first to fly across the Atlantic.
Levine, Levine, bis der Held jetzt finish rule. Levine, Levine.
Levine went out and bought the finest plane of his day and hired a pilot named Clarence Chamberlain to fly it for him. But 2 weeks before they were able to get off the ground, they lost the race. Lindbergh beat them across the Atlantic. Lindbergh has won the race and is a worldwide hero, but Levine decides to fly anyway, and he decides that he needs a gimmick. So he announces that there's going to be a mystery passenger, and no one knows who it's going to be. Clarence Chamberlain is the pilot, but who is the mystery passenger? The plane is on the runway. Propellers are turning, the plane is warming up. While everyone waits for this supposed mystery passenger to turn up, Levine tells his wife, "Oh, I'm just going to get into the plane for a moment and we're just going to taxi around the airfield." It wasn't until the plane took off and was heading out over the trees out into the open ocean that everyone realizes that it was Levine all along who was the mystery passenger. His wife sees this, she faints dead away. His kids see it, they burst into tears. And meanwhile, Levine is on his way.
Hi, Levine, Levine, the Chamberlain get flying.
This is a recording of Levine der Große Mann, Levine the big man. His wife and children knew nothing of his notion to fly across the ocean when he climbed into the plane. So Chamberlain and Levine actually make it. They beat Lindbergh's speed and distance record and nearly make it all the way to Berlin. The American public is interested in them for a day or two, and then Levine and Chamberlain fade from the headlines. But for the Jews, this was a big deal.
Der Talk.
The Day Dem newspaper, Union, June 7th, 1927.
Clarence D. Chamberlain.
Clarence D. Chamberlain and Charles A. Levine have done it, too.
Chamberlain
and Levine have set a new record in non-stop air travel, a new record of Jewish bravery, courage, and fortitude. Together with the American Christian Chamberlain, the American Jew Levine has broken the record for air flight. Charles A. Levine has created a new high point in the history of the Jews.
And I am Rumpfung Edition Record.
Jewish composers write song after song celebrating Levine.
Oi, flee, 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 Levine, of God's bruch and thy machine.
The Jewish community goes absolutely crazy. They have a hero. Levine is all over the radio dial. This is the only known recording of his voice that survives.
My happiness is complete. Though I never dreamt of the joy and thrill it would bring to so many others, such feeling is the crowning jewel of our achievement.
This was an era when Jews would change their names. I mean, every one of the popular Jewish entertainers had changed their names. Eddie Cantor was Isidore Itzkowitz, Al Jolson was Asa Yoelson, Fanny Bryce was Fanny Borach. All these people changed their names to become part of American culture. Levine didn't change his name. So the Jewish community, the symbol of him not changing his name was really important.
Levine, Levine, you're the hero of your race. Levine, Levine, you're the greatest Hebrew ace. We got a thrill when Chamberlain flew, but you were right there too. We're proud of you, Levine. Levine, just an ordinary name, but you brought it everlasting fame.
But after a while, even the Jewish community forgot about Levine. He just disappeared off the radar screen. And that's the last the world heard of Charles A. Levine.
My name is Ardith Polly. I'm the daughter of Charles A. Levine. My father just felt that he was going to make it. And I don't know whether it was stupidity or just confidence. But he made it. He became a hero of the air. And yeah, it was a dream, but I think it turned into a nightmare. It all happened, you know, after the flight, when he became this very famous, rich millionaire, young millionaire, and was sought after by all these women that were seeking notoriety as well as him. There was women that were chasing after him to get press, and newspapers started to report about seeing here with this one and seeing here with that one, and giving diamond bracelets, which was his habit, to my mother. She'd pick up a napkin and there would be a diamond bracelet. Then she heard about him giving diamond bracelets to someone else, and so they were divorced. Although he begged and pleaded and said he was sorry and he'll kill himself and everything else, she got a divorce. And after that, he just went down rather than up. He lost a lot of money and was not the same Charlie Levine that he had been. I didn't know that much about him. I just knew he was my father and that he flew the Atlantic, and that was it. Sometime after the divorce, he eventually moved in with my mother's friend. Her mother had an annuity that gave her so much a month, and my father lived off that and kept wheeling and dealing, and nothing ever happened. So finally she ran. She picked herself up and she ran. And without her money coming in, he was destitute. He just went down, you know, to the depths that no one wants to wind up in. He was thrown out on the street. He was just wandering the streets, you know, if it wasn't for this nice woman who picked him up, you know, while he was wandering around. And he happened to mention that he was Charlie Levine, the first passenger to fly. Anyway, she took him in under her wing. My father must have gotten into trouble, a lot of trouble, because the FBI was looking for him. I was newlywed at the time. And I don't know how they found me, but they found me, and they were looking for my father, and I didn't know where he was. I mean, I hadn't seen my father in God knows how long. So, the name struck a bell. That was about it. I got a call from this woman who took him in under her wing, but he was becoming too much trouble. So she wanted to find out where he belonged. And so she called. I don't know how she found me. I really don't know how anyone found me. But that's how I found my father. We were in business at the time, my husband and myself. And I really didn't know what to do. We didn't want to diminish, you know, the fact that he was this big hero of the air. And so, you know, we bought him a suit and put him in our business and paid him, you know, although he did not absolutely nothing, but paid him so that he'd have some kind of self-respect. And so it went. Eventually, my husband and I got divorced. And then there was no longer an office, and there was no longer a place for him to stay. And then he then moved to this friend originally that picked him up off the gutter. He moved back there and eventually died, I think. I really don't know. He was my father, and he did go down in history as something. No matter how downhill his life went, he still is in the history books as first passenger to fly the Atlantic, and they can't take that away from him. And that's the story, as far as I know, about my father, Charles A. Levine.
Levine in sein flying machine.
All right, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. And my thrift score of the week is a very unusual album by Harvey Griffin. It's called The Two Sides of Harvey Griffin. Harvey Griffin was, and may still be, I'm not so sure he's still alive, but he's a harp player. He plays the harp, not the harmonica, the stringed harp. And this is a two-record set that he released probably back in the 1970s, Gatefold LP, with one part of the record, or one record being classical music, and the second record being pop music. And his resume literally in the album, on the album cover. Harvey Griffin says he has a background and degree in music and drama from Michigan State University, 4 years of music study, extensive private training with Lucille Lawrence, the Mann School of Music in New York, 3 years in the United States Army Concert Band, 14 years total in the professional field. He had given over 400 concert performances, over 150 club dates from New York to Los Angeles, many dramatic performances, numerous television appearances, including The Ed Sullivan Show and The Dinah Shore Show, 28 performances at the White House before presidents, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson, skilled at 6 orchestral and band instruments, arranges his own music for both harp and voice, is fun and easy to talk to, intelligent and interesting, responds well with other musicians, and claims to be the only black male harpist in the United States. That's his resume that is literally in the gatefold of the album, The Two Sides of Harvey Griffin. We're going to hear a tune called Raindrops. Thank you. Okay, now you're going to have that stuck in your head all day.
DJ Frederick presents Great Moments in WSCS History. October 1st, 1922, WSCS signs on the air at 640 kilocycles with the following message.
I am Trumpeter Lanfrey, one of the surviving trumpeters charged from the Light Brigade of Balaclava. I am now going to sound the bugle that was sounded at Waterloo and sound the charge as was sounded at Balaclava on that very same bugle. The 25th of October, 1854.
And that's how WSCS became known as The Charge. Believe it or not.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. If you'd like to communicate with me, my email is fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. That's Frederick Michael Oscar Echo at colby-sawyer.edu. Other than that, I'm kicking it old school style. No Twitter, no Facebook, just a dude and a microphone. And a dusty old record player. Well, all right, I got a CD player here. Well, thank you for listening. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Next week, it's going to be the Village Green, a New England music sampler, and Night Train to Mundo Fine. Take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love. Audience! Audience!